Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Bound Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, the stage is set. Top 12 teams will be entering the college football playoff. Games start on December 19th. SEC does, in fact, have five teams. It didn't come with some controversy, though. We'll talk about the SEC championship. It was all Georgia dominating Alabama. Georgia did cover this game as a 1.5-point favorite. The game was played in Atlanta. They jumped up 14-0, never looked back. But the biggest question was that Alabama still, in fact, made the college football playoff. Give me your thoughts about this game that transpired last Saturday afternoon. And would, and in your opinion, should Alabama still be in the college football playoff?
Well, I mean, it's a credit to the SEC that they kept them in. There's that thought that you should not fall out of your standing if you lose in the conference championship game. But they were so soundly beaten rushed for minus 3 yards the entire game. And we said all along this season that if they didn't pick up their running game, it was going to cost them in the playoffs or in the championship game. Now they decided they would make the playoffs. They kept them in there for the playoffs. Probably a good thing, because we don't want to diminish the value and the importance of playing in the conference championship game, or we might as well throw them out, you know, if they're going to knock you out of the playoffs. But again, a 3-loss Alabama, I still like to see, are they more deserving than a 10-2 Vanderbilt or some of those type of teams, some 2-loss teams that might have gotten in, especially a Notre Dame. I think that's probably the team that says, what about us? But anyway, it's a credit to the SEC, five teams making the playoffs. I think you can see, as we've seen all year, the strongest conference from top to bottom. Alabama, again, they played some great football, but when it came to Georgia, Georgia showed them their weakness, which is the running game.
Now, Georgia did win back-to-back SEC championships, Coach, for the first time dating back to the 1980s, 1980 through 1982, those years with Buck Ballew and those great players for the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, this is a testament to what Kirby Smart has built, right? He lost to Alabama earlier in the year. Alabama snapped the Georgia 33-game home winning streak in prime time, and they came ready to play, right? You know, that's the one thing, is that Kirby, up until this point, was knocked around by Alabama and Kalen DeBoer in just two seasons. That defense, though, brought it to Ty Simpson and that offense, and this is a championship-caliber defense basically over the last month of the regular season.
Oh, they just dominated Alabama with their defense. And again, Kirby Smart, this game was personal to him. It was personal because what he's the success that he has had against Alabama has not been that good, and he did a great job of making on-the-field adjustments, of getting his team ready to play. You know, he asked his team a question in the team meeting before the game, stand up if you ever beat Alabama. Not one player in that room could stand up. That's how much they had to look in the mirror and see themselves as a team that had to go out there and win. Then I thought the other thing, Gunnar Stockton really outplayed Ty Simpson. Ty looked uncomfortable. He didn't sit comfortably in the pocket. He was frustrated. He wasn't accurate. Gunnar Stockton came through, played like a – he's gotten better and better, played like a veteran, and I thought he outplayed Ty Simpson in that football game.
Georgia earned a first-round bye. On the flip side, Oklahoma will face off against Oklahoma. It's a rematch of the game that played out in late November. Oklahoma did win that matchup in Tuscaloosa, handed Alabama only their second home loss dating back to 2020, Coach. It's a rematch. We'll break down that game a little bit later in the show, but I do want to talk about just Oklahoma as a whole right now. We had talked about the job that Brett Venables has done, 10-2 overall. They overexceed expectations with one of the hardest schedules. They end the year number eight overall. This was a great job, and you can make the argument if John Mateer, their starting quarterback, doesn't go down with a thumb injury, maybe, just maybe, they might have been undefeated.
Oh, I thought Brent Venables did one of the best jobs of any coach in the conference, making a decision to put himself on the line. I'm going to be the defensive coordinator. I'm going to make the calls. Leave it up to me. Put me on your back. And he did a great job. He kept offenses off balance all year. And when you're a one-dimensional offense like Alabama is right now, they better be careful because he can really focus on getting after that quarterback because they don't have a strong running game to go with it. So, again, he did a great job. Many could consider him possibly a SEC coach of the year. We know Lane Kiffin did a great job at Ole Miss, Elko at Texas A&M, but where Brent Venables came from last year to this year, boy, he did as good a job as anybody in the conference.
You mentioned Ole Miss. They're in the playoff. Charlie Weiss Jr., their offensive coordinator, will call plays. It'll be Pete Golding, the new head coach for the Ole Miss Rebels. Thoughts about this team? It is a rematch in their first matchup against Tulane. This was a team that they dominated on both sides of the ball. But just big picture about Ole Miss. Is it possible, right? Big picture with Golding and Charlie Weiss Jr., that this team could potentially make a run to the championship game?
Well, you know, you've got everybody in place that you need to have in place. And we're seeing now that those players and a lot of the people around the program aren't as sad that Lane Kiffin is not there. You can't help but read it between the lines. Even when Pete Golden says, hey, I won't be going to yoga classes there. But you know what? They've got their play caller there. They've got their defensive coordinator there. That's the nuts and bolts of the game day operations. Again, don't take anything away from Lane Kiffin. He's given them their best years of their history, the number of years he's done there with double-digit victories. But I think they will be fine as far as playing the best football they can play. A lot of other good football teams out there, I think they get through the first round pretty comfortably. After that, it's going to be a battle with the teams that they're playing.
Absolutely. We'll break down both of those games a little bit later in the show. Coach, Heisman is still up for discussion. Can Diego Pavia potentially steal the Heisman after the performance by Fernando Mendoza? Mendoza didn't light the world on fire, but did knock off the top team in the nation, Ohio State. He's back to -2,500. Diego Pavia is still there at 12-1. Does he have any shot to steal the hardware?
Boy, it doesn't look like it. I mean, Fernando Mendoza, you know, he made a big third down, 33-yard touchdown pass to win the game with about 2.5 minutes left for Indiana, probably enough to push him over the top. But I promise you, if fans and if voters would watch the highlight of Diego Pavia, watch how he carried that team and that program on his shoulders, I think he's clearly the most deserving of the Heisman Trophy. Not sure they're going to give it to him because, like you said, Ohio State, Indiana, who won that game, likely was going to push that quarterback in towards Heisman Trophy consideration.
Now, I don't know if you saw Vanderbilt's head coach, Clark Lee, but they asked him about why Vanderbilt, you know, missed out, and was he bitter in any capacity being a 10-2 football team? And basically, he had come out and said that they had every opportunity to knock off Texas on the road. They lost that game by 3 in Alabama, a game where they were covering for much of the way and then allowed it to slip. Lost that game by 11 in the final 20 seconds of that matchup against the Crimson Tide. Thoughts about what Clark Lee said about his team had every opportunity. They just didn't make enough plays to pick up the wins.
I think everything that Notre Dame said the wrong way, he said the right way. He said, you know what, we just want to play football. We're proud and honored that we were able to have the season that we did. We've got a chance to play another football game, and our guys just want to work together and play another football game. Didn't blame anybody. Said, let's go play football. That's the way you probably should do it if we're going to set an example for those players and how to respond to things. When things don't go your way, that's how you respond.
When Coach and I return, we'll talk about the coaches, new coaches in the conference. We'll also touch on two potential first-round matchups, Ole Miss, Tulane, and Texas A&M, Miami, coming up next.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down all things SEC. We left off talking about the SEC championship, Georgia's dominance, Alabama potentially making or not making the playoffs. I do want to bring up Lane Kiffin. You brought him up in last segment, Coach. News out of Baton Rouge broke late last week about Blake Baker being given $3 million to stay on as defensive coordinator for the LSU Tigers. What does that mean for LSU moving forward and keeping Blake Baker at home with that defensive talent for the Tigers?
You know, if it isn't broke, don't break it. You know, go with it. He did a great job. He was there successfully. I noticed where at Auburn they did the same thing with DJ Durk. And if you've got a good defense, a good defensive coach, a good head coach who really fools around with the offense, which is what Lane Kiffin did. That's the way I did when I coached. If I had a good defensive coordinator, my defense was not the problem. Let's let that stay as it is. So I think it's a good move. They like Blake Baker, the LSU people. They were very, very good on defense. They weren't great, but they were very, very good. So I think that will stabilize and it'll get kids pumped up and not feeling like the end of the world or everything's going to completely change. So I think offensively, obviously, was the biggest thing LSU's got to fix is their offense. That's what they hired Lane Kiffin for. And I think he'll show why he's probably one of the best at getting players out of the portal in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think when you look at some of the hires in the conference as well, John Summerall to Florida, Alex Golish to Auburn, the conference from top to bottom is going to be very physical again, right? We talk about the SEC being a physical conference, having both of those coaches come back to those respective programs. Give me your thoughts about Summerall to Florida, Golish to Auburn.
Yeah, Summerall, of course, I coached against him 2 years at Troy. I think he's an outstanding coach. He's based in defensive football. He's got a defensive mentality. He's tough, but he's already shown he can bring in outstanding quarterbacks. That's Tulane, Darian Menzel, he brought that in. Then Zach Ratliff brought him in, won the conference 2 times in a row, did the same thing at Troy when he was there. So I think he's proven his body of work, what he can do. But I think he brings a tough-minded mindset to the Florida Gators, which is what they like. And he also understands that he's got to have a wide-open offense to fit the style of what the people want at Florida.
Now, Summerall coached in the conference championship game. Obviously, he's doing dual duties, and the question remains, will he continue to coach Tulane in the college football playoff? Give me your thoughts about that. Can he be effective knowing that he has double duty being the coach at Tulane and obviously finishing out the business for the Green Wave, but more importantly, trying to recruit and get Florida back on track?
I think if he's got people in place at Florida, he can do that. Because you're moving from G6, G5 up to the Power 4 level, it's not seen as something so negative that you stay and coach your team through the playoffs if they'll let him. Florida probably has the right to say no. I would have think they would have discussed that during their negotiations. But I see no problem with him or Chesney at James Madison staying and trying to get their team through. I think they've got general managers in place, coaches in place. They can get the ball rolling in their new jobs and still work with their players to see if they can show their players and the teams that they're with them all the way through. I don't think it's such a bad move when you're in a G6 who's got a new job at a Power 4.
No, it's not. And again, their first round matchup is a rematch, Coach, of a team in Ole Miss that really beat them up. They laid a huge number to the Tulane Green Wave before you could blink. They were down 3 or 4 touchdowns in that matchup, and Ole Miss won that game convincingly. That game was in Oxford. It is a rematch. Thoughts about that, having to play the same team in the same place that you lost just about 6 or 7 weeks ago?
Well, you know, normally, you and I talked a lot that when you're a team that lost the first game, gives you a little bit of an edge the second, except when there was a dominant team over another team. The dominant team is most likely going to win again, and you're not going to be able to pull off, whether you play them 10 times or 2 times, probably not going to pull that off. And I feel like that's the way Tulane and Ole Miss is. Now, if Ole Miss, if their quarterback is hearing stuff about going to LSU or he's looking in the portal and they're not focused on this football game and they're caught up in the distractions, this could take away from Ole Miss. So hopefully with the coaches they've kept, the assistant coaches that stayed with them, they can keep those kids locked in. Because if Ole Miss is locked in, they'll walk away with this first game.
Yeah, really. And when you talk about dominance, Coach, in a series, I have to go back to the stats. But the last time Tulane beat Ole Miss was 1988. So they are up against it from the series perspective. Obviously, Ole Miss has owned the Green Wave in recent years. The other matchup that we discussed was Miami and Texas A&M. Give me your thoughts again. A&M was looked at, if they would have beaten Texas, they could have potentially had the argument of having that number one overall seed, maybe over Ohio State. Just thoughts about the Aggies, big picture, and Elko and the job that he's done in year number 2.
Well, he has done a great job. But like I said earlier on the show, I think Marcel Reed had an off day. He did not play as well. And I don't care who you are, if your quarterback is not at the top of his game, it can be a problem in the playoffs because everybody you play is good. You don't play a lot of teams that don't have the ability to beat you. So, again, Texas A&M just to be a steady course, continue to play great defense, great third down defense, great pressure on quarterbacks. And then Marcel Reed, just go out there and play a clean game. Don't don't turn the ball over. Your dual threat ability. I do think Texas A&M is better than Miami. If he plays good and plays clean, I think they can beat him because of the quarterback and what he can do for Texas A&M.
Absolutely. We talk about third down defense for much of the year. A&M had the number one ranked third down defense with Ohio State, holding opposing offenses to only about 22% of their third down opportunities. They did get exposed by Texas in the regular season finale, but they do have 3 weeks of preparation for this matchup. When Coach and I return, we'll talk about the other rematch, college football playoff, Alabama and Oklahoma. Can Oklahoma knock off Bama 2 times in a row in the same season? We'll talk about it coming up next. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down all things SEC. We left off talking about the two playoff matchups, Miami and Texas A&M, Ole Miss and Tulane. We'll talk about the final one. It's a rematch that took place in November. Alabama was a 6.5-point home favorite. Oklahoma walked into Tuscaloosa and came out with a 24-21 victory, Coach. They have knocked off Alabama in 2 straight seasons. They handed Alabama only their second home loss dating back to 2020. Now they come to Norman, the Crimson Tide. That offense needs a quick fix up against one of the best defenses in the nation in Brett Venables and the Sooners.
Yeah, and with Alabama just getting worse and worse in their running game, I mean, -3 yards against Georgia, they never got anything going. Ty Simpson a little bit frustrated, out of sync, did not have a good, clean football game against Georgia. I mean, this is the type of offense that Brent Venables just loves, one-dimensional. He can put his ears back and go after that quarterback. He loves to have the exotic blitzes where they come from the secondary, they come from the outside and the inside. If they can't run the ball at Alabama, Oklahoma's going to get another win. There's a way of, I mean, but with 2 wins in a row, though, you just have to think that Alabama, they're about due. Oklahoma does check all the boxes. One-dimensional offense, they'll get after the quarterback. But Alabama, I do believe they're going to be ready to play their best football game against Oklahoma.
What does it mean when your offense gets shut down basically in 2 games? Because they only gave up 3 points in Norman last year with Jalen Milroe. This past game in Tuscaloosa was a very ugly type of game, and Oklahoma was in complete control, I thought, for much of the game. Even though Alabama was able to move the football, that defense, when they had to make a play, they made it. And we're not sold on Alabama's defense. This isn't an elite group that we've seen, under the tutelage of Nick Saban. They've been exposed this season as well.
Yeah, I don't think Oklahoma's offense is running as well as Georgia's is now. I think Georgia's offense is catching up with their defense and playing very, very well. Oklahoma still has to win this defensively, and that Mateer just needs to play good enough to get them moving on offense to 14-21 points to take care of Alabama. So I do like the fact that Oklahoma's quarterback is steady, that he gives them enough offense, and that their defense can carry the day against Alabama.
When you look at the passing attack over the past, I want to say, 2 games, Auburn and Georgia, 122 through the air for Ty Simpson, 212 against Georgia. A lot of that was in garbage time. He's only completed 54% against Auburn, 48% against Georgia. Coach, this was a quarterback that was looked at as a Heisman Trophy frontrunner that was completing close to 70% of his passes. Is it more of a play calling that we've seen, or just that maybe defenses are starting to understand Kalen DeBoer's offense right now?
Yeah, I think they're catching up. I think the book, you know, the book on Kellen DeBoer and what he likes to do offensively, defensive coordinators are smart. They've got much more video to look at. They've got tendencies figured out. And I think that puts a lot more pressure on the quarterback when they can recognize a formation or a situation where they know more than not what you're going to do, puts a lot more pressure on the quarterback, especially without the running game. If you can run the football, it's a mental rest for the quarterback. He really can mentally rest for several plays while you're running that football. But when he's under pressure, every situation, every down, he's more likely to have a mistake. And that's kind of what's happened to Ty Simpson in the last couple of games.
Coach, if DeBoer does lose this game, I know they made the college football playoff, but they sort of backed in, right? They didn't dominate the SEC. They backed in. Is he again on the hot seat? I know people sort of push that away and to the wayside, give him time, give him, allow him an opportunity to get his recruits. But, you know, when you sort of succeed, right, the best modern day head coach, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, this, I mean, hey, he is always going to be on the hot seat. Now, I don't know if I can express this strong enough. If he doesn't win the SEC or win a national championship, he's going to be on the hot seat because that's what you do at Alabama. Bear Bryant won 6 national championships, nobody even close, until Nick Saban went to Alabama. He got 6 more, 7 total. So the only thing you can do at Alabama is win SEC championships and national championships. Anything less, and you are on the hot seat.
When Coach and I will be back throughout the rest of the week breaking down all the SEC matchups for the college football playoff, we'll touch on all the games. Next week as well, we'll be breaking down more predictions for December 19th and the 20th. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you later in the week.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No